So I hope you enjoyed your afternoon of awareness plus talking, or awareness plus the water element, or both of those things. So in a period of including interaction in the practice, it can feel sometimes like starts to get a bit bumpy or rocky or unfamiliar than when you were not talking. So I thought this evening I would share some about the fourth of the Brahmaviharas. Some of you may have been waiting for this one to come through, which is about equanimity. So balance of mind with all different circumstances. So we talked in the early in the retreat about metta, sense of goodwill, loving kindness, friendliness, and that as a kind of baseline state that you could develop towards other living beings, other people, other animals. Maybe we usually have it only for our most loved ones, but that it's wholesome, helpful to cultivate this towards all big beings. And then sometimes if you encounter someone, including yourself, who might be suffering, then can shade a little bit towards compassion or karuna. So this is a connection to suffering. May you be free from suffering. And then sometimes you encounter someone who's already happy, and then this metta, this goodwill, can shade towards being happy for their happiness. So this appreciative joy. And then this fourth of these states is kind of underlying all of them, and in some ways is like the most mature of them. And if you have gone along cultivating a sense of goodwill, sense of compassion, sense of joy, sometimes there can still be a little bit of imbalance of leaning into the wishing. So you're really wishing well for others, but you've gotten a little bit attached in this. Or you really want them to be free from suffering. You really want the happiness to continue. So the state of equanimity or upekkha is like recognizing that it's not up to us, which doesn't mean that it's not worth it to wish well, to rest in these states of metta, karuna, mudita, but that underlying it, it's not in our control how things unfold for others. So the most classical Buddhist expression of this is that all beings are heirs to their own karma. So their happiness and unhappiness depends upon their actions and not upon my wishes for them. Or maybe a more colloquial one would be like everyone is on their own journey. Maybe it's most clear how this is helpful. For example, if there's someone who you really care about, sometimes it's like a child or a teenager in your life or a really good friend. And yeah, you can see they're making decisions in their life and you really want them to make good decisions. You really want them to make good decisions about what they eat or drink or who they hang out with. You want them to make good decisions about their future. But in the end, it's not in your control. So you can advise them, you can guide them, you can love them. But in the end, like, they have to make their own choices about what they're going to do. And then they will reap the results of those choices. So this can be very difficult, very painful for us, the more we're attached to the outcomes for other people. It doesn't mean that it's useless to try to guide them, and, you know, particularly if you're like a parent or auntie, uncle, grandparent, or even a good friend, yeah, it's a good thing to try to give guidance, but then it's really up to them what they choose to do. So you could reflect maybe even for yourself how maybe certain periods of your life, like when you were a teenager, a bunch of adults try to tell you what to do, how they want you to have your hair cut, or what they want you to study, or that they want you to study, or they want you to not drink, or they want you to go to church, or they want you to do this job or that job. And yeah, maybe you can remember that despite what they wanted you to do, you were going to make up your own decision, right? Like how you want to dress, what music you want to listen to, where you want to go. Yeah, you might have taken their advice into account, but maybe even occasionally to do the exact opposite thing, depending on your temperament. So we all have to make our own choices and then reap the results of that. And it seems like when you have very small children, like you're taking care of them, and at a certain stage you can like pick them up and move them, but then very quickly they become very squirrely and difficult to move, and they'll do their own thing. Even if you move them, they'll move back, and you know, then becomes increasingly clear that even pretty small children are, yeah, they're on their own journey. They're making their own choices. You can guide them, but they're making their own choices, and then they're kind of on their own path of life, as are all of us. So even for most of the participants here, you're not born into families in which they taught you to meditate, I think. So for most of you, in fact, even choosing to come here and to spend your time in this way is part of you being on your own path. In this case, actually a very wholesome path, like have made an unusual choice to spend your time in this way. Maybe something that your family understands or doesn't understand, or your friends. But yeah, you've chosen to do something in this way for this 9 days. And in this case, it's considered very wholesome activity. So equanimity can be a reflection about this, that as much as we can wish well for people, we can love them, we can guide them, everyone is on their own journey. Also, it can be good to cultivate equanimity in relationship to events that happen. So I mentioned earlier in talking about dukkha that all of us are subject to, as soon as we're being born, the vagaries of maybe getting sick or getting older, certainly, and eventually dying. And all of that also is not under our strict control. Also, the changes of the political system or policies in the larger environment, issues in the weather, how stuff turns out at work, right? So all of this stuff is not strictly under our control. Maybe we have some influence a little bit here and there, but by and large, there's ups and downs. So the Buddha talked about this as worldly winds. So for all of us, we are subject to these winds of change, of sometimes having pleasure, sometimes having pain. Sometimes we gain things, sometimes we lose things. Sometimes people praise us, sometimes people blame us for things. And sometimes we have a widespread good reputation and sometimes not. And all of this stuff is constantly changing and not totally under our control. So you can do your best to live a good life, to live an ethical life, to try to treat people well, but it actually doesn't guarantee that everyone is going to like you or treat you nicely. In fact, if you think about it, the people who have maybe done the most heroic things in history often are the ones who have been given the hardest time. So people like Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King Jr., even Dalai Lama, so many leaders who have been imprisoned or jailed or exiled or killed even. So maybe widely praised on one side, but also blamed on the other. So we can sometimes reflect like, okay, things are as they are. All of us are subject to these worldly winds. They blow on all of us. So things are as they are in this moment. And sometimes even just calling up equanimity can be helpful. So sometimes when you find yourself wobbling in relationship to circumstance not going the way you'd like or something being unfair, you can even just wish like, oh, may equanimity and kindness enter my heart. May I meet this moment with a balanced heart. Sometimes even just remembering that is one way to cultivate it. So with equanimity, there is also something that is called the near enemy. So this is something that may look or feel like equanimity, but it's not that. And that is indifference. So indifference is when you actually don't really care what's happening. So it looks like you're not being knocked around by circumstance, not getting super excited or super depressed by all the ups and downs, but actually it's because you don't care anymore, which is different than equanimity. So equanimity is being deeply connected and also having this stability of mind, having this groundedness. And this also allows us to be there for other people when they're going through difficult times, when they're going through exuberant times, and we can be grounded. We can be there with them. And we can help them with the ups and downs of life, too, when we have this quality of heart. So it's a very mature quality of mind, of heart, and sometimes recognize when it feels like it's there or try to call it up when it's lacking. So depending on the circumstances, the practice of equanimity, there can be many of these different phrases used. So you can try them on if you like, if you want to sit, connect with the sense of stability of heart. And if we're going to do the practice of equanimity for someone else, cultivate a sense of equanimity, interestingly, the one that it's supposed to be easiest to start with is actually someone you don't know. So someone who's sort of a neutral person, you don't know, you're not attached to them, it's easier to recognize like, yeah, okay, they make their own choices and their life is playing out accordingly. So, if you like, we can try this as a cultivation practice in a couple different ways. So just steadying the attention as best we can. Can bring to mind maybe somebody who you don't know that well. Could be even someone on this retreat you've seen around but not had a lot of interaction with. So you don't know all their story. They've come from a certain family. They have certain joys and sorrows. You can feel connected to them in some way and just reflect. All beings have their own journey. Or if it's meaningful for you, you could reflect. You are the owner of your own karma. Your happiness and unhappiness depends upon your actions and not upon my wishes for you. All beings have their own journey. And you can say it in your own words in some way. If you like, you can see if you can bring to mind a friend of yours, maybe. So not the closest one who you're most attached to, but yeah, someone who you care about who's maybe facing some choices in their life. All beings have their own journey. I wish well for you, but I can't control you. I release you from expectations. Allow you to be as you are. Or you can reflect on these worldly winds with them. If they're having a hard time or facing some challenge, you can reflect pleasure and pain, gain and loss, praise and blame, fame and disrepute, all arise and pass away for all of us. Nobody gets all good or all bad in this life. Could consider also if there's some situation in the broader world or at work or in your family that is seeming to knock you around a little bit. And the first step with equanimity is just to accept that this is how things are. After that, maybe you can choose to see if you can influence things for the better, but just recognizing this moment is how it is. things are as they are. You can consider some area of your life that you've had a little bit of being knocked off balance recently. Could be with something in your health or something in your personal life. May my heart be at ease with the changing conditions of my life. May I open to this experience with equanimity and kindness. May my heart be at ease with the changing conditions of life. May we all be at ease with all the changing conditions of life. Sometimes for practitioners, among the things that we could learn to be equanimous about are the changing conditions of our mind, so that maybe sometimes there's greater sense of collectedness or samadhi, and sometimes less. Sometimes the mind is quiet, sometimes it's noisy. So can we practice being aware and in some ways at ease with all of these different conditions. So including, as we might be aware of, like tomorrow being the last full day of our retreat, you could notice maybe the mind has some response to that, either, oh goody, finally it's almost over, or, oh no, I don't want this to ever end. Or maybe alternating in each moment, it flips between those two also. So I can see if we can be equanimous with whatever it is our ideas of the future are, our ideas of what's going to happen. Just resting with how it is right now. With balance as best we can. So if any of those different angles into equanimity was helpful for you, then you can just practice them or use that flavor of it whenever is helpful. Kind of, things are as they are, or all beings are on their own journey, or may I meet this moment with balance, or reflecting, everything changes. Pleasure, pain, gain, loss. for all of us. So tomorrow we'll meet here for the morning session at 9:30, and have a chance to reflect a little bit more about overall Dharma. And then have some chance for questions. If you have any questions, then also. And I don't know if there's anybody, I think I've gotten to everyone who wanted to have an individual meeting with me, but I don't know if there's anybody who didn't get a chance yet, who wanted to sign up, who couldn't find a slot. Maybe if there is, you could raise your hand if you haven't had one chance, and I'll put up more. But if not, maybe we'll do something, groups or something tomorrow. Yeah. That's good? Okay. All right. So, just remain relaxed, and this opportunity for practice this next day is very precious. You could consider almost like we have a short weekend retreat now, but you have been given a head start of 8 days of meditation suddenly gifted to you for now. A couple days of weekend retreat. It's really, yeah, we don't know when the conditions are, when things will come together again for us to have this opportunity. So taking the opportunity to practice as best we can. Again, this kind of, yeah, gentle continuity of awareness that can then be taken into our regular life, learning whatever lessons that the Dhamma has to teach us. So thank you for your practice today. We're happy to be here with all of you. I wish you well for a good rest. We'll see you also in the morning.